Welcome to Slice Your Asian Half. I am Dr. David Matto, and this is the show where we help you live better, stronger, thinner, and of course, happier. This is episode 9, and I thank every single one of you for joining me again. This is Thanksgiving Day today. As you're hearing this, and as I'm recording this, it's Thanksgiving morning, and this is going to be a great episode today. I'll tell you, for many reasons. First of all, it's a holiday. I've got some really great holiday tips to start off with, and just some other things going on. I've got a great question from a listener that wrote in about. Basically, he wants to know, you know, when he takes a little break from work, maybe at lunch, you know, what type of exercise, what can he actually do in a very short amount of time to keep up his health and his lifestyle, stay healthy. So I'm going to be answering that. Let's see, what else do we have here? We have just some great stuff. Well, I know I've got a guest that's going to be calling in a little while. This is going to be one of the most inspirational interviews I have done to date on this podcast. Somebody's be calling in and telling you all about something that he accomplished that is absolutely amazing. And you've got to stay tuned to hear this, because you're going to love it, and it possibly could change your life as well. So that's going to be coming up very shortly. And just some other little tips after the interview to close the show on a very, very nice Thanksgiving Day. I will tell you, I am signed up for a marathon in 2 days on Saturday, and it's coming too fast, actually. I've been training for it. Of course, I always try to stay marathon ready, but the reason I think it's coming a little too fast is because the weather here in the Mid-Atlantic, specifically the Baltimore area, is just dropping. Yesterday, I went out and did a 16-mile run. Just at a very, very slow pace, 16-mile run, and it's cold here. It's cold, and I'm used to doing marathons more in the fall, and although it's not officially winter yet, it may as well be, because it's just getting cold. You know, I wore the hat, the gloves, several layers, and I think I actually prefer running in autumn, where it's not quite as cold, and you can just pretty much wear shorts and a t-shirt or a racing shirt. I just like those conditions better, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. It's the North Central. It's a marathon on the North Central Railroad Trail, which is one of those rails to trails. I think it's trails to rails or rails to trails. Like it was rails to trails. It's you know, it used to be an old railroad track, railroad right of way, and they converted it into a really nice running trail from northern Baltimore County up way into Pennsylvania, which is it's just beautiful. They're bicyclists, they're runners. Occasionally, you see some horses. They're walkers, of course. You see everything, and it's a beautiful trail. And I've known for years that they've had this marathon they do every November. It's always the Saturday after Thanksgiving, and I've just never entered it. So this year I entered it many, many months ago, not realizing, of course, how cold it's going to be the end of November. So we'll see what happens. I'll report back on that one in the next episode. So it should be fine. It should be fine. I just, you know me, I just like to get out there and run a marathon, and I don't compete as far as trying to win, because I'll never be able to win a marathon. I do it for my health and to finish. And so it should be good. It should be good. So that's one of the things that's going on. And of course, since it is Thanksgiving, many of you, especially in the United States, are invited to family gatherings today, to parties, to dinner, to maybe lunches. And remember this, there is going to be the temptation to eat too much, to drink too much, and repeat all of that. Because, you know, when you get together with friends and family and they're passing around hors d'oeuvres and food and everybody's drinking, you get kind of hung up in the moment and you don't really think about the consequences. And then when all is over, you feel sick at the end of the day or at the end of the evening. And then, of course, the next day you look at the scale and, my God, what's happened? You've put on a couple pounds or maybe more. So the advice I'm going to give you is, yeah, it's a holiday. Have fun with your family and friends. But there's no reason to overdo it. And remember, this is your lifestyle. This is your plan. Your friends and family may not be into this. They may not be thinking about their health, but you're thinking about your health because you, of course, are following Slice Your Age in Half, and you want to be healthier. You want to look younger. You want to feel stronger. You don't want to, grow older and get weaker and just look horrible and feel horrible about yourself. You don't want to do that. So that's why you're part of this program. So all I can say is, when everything's passed around, very politely, take a little bit and pass it on. And don't overindulge. Don't feel family pressure. Don't feel peer pressure. I'm begging you, please don't get hung up in the moment, because you will regret it. And this is a lifestyle, remember, we're teaching. It's not one of these things where you do it when you want to, because your body does not know it's a holiday. When you start taking in too much food and drink, your body reacts by putting on fat, putting on pounds, making you a little bit sicker, a little bit weaker. So don't do it. Just stick with me. Remember, I'm watching you. I'm going to be watching you. Be good today, please. Please, please. It's your body. Take good care of it. So let's see. We have actually a question that came in on Facebook from Josh. And Josh asks, what can I do if I have 10 minutes to an hour to break out for a quick workout during work? Something I can do in the office that doesn't require weights. So Josh, great question. Let me thank you for that first of all. And you know, you give a pretty good time span there. It could be either 10 minutes or it could be 1 hour. And depending on the amount of time you have, that will determine my answer. So let's start off with, let's say you only have 10 minutes, 10 minute break. Let's say you 10 minute break during your work time. And what can you do in 10 minutes? Well, you can do a lot, actually, believe it or not. But in 10 minutes, I'm not going to ask you to get your running clothes on or get your walking shoes and get your coat on and go out for a walk. Because let's face it, by the time you walk out the door, you're going to have a few minutes, turn around and come back, and then you got to get back to work. So 10 minutes is not really enough time to go outside and do something. But in 10 minutes, I really think you could do some really good breathing exercises. Maybe a little bit of yoga, a little bit of stretching, and if you maybe even a little bit of meditation. Well, they all kind of go together, because yoga is really made up of meditation, breathing, stretching. It's all of the above, really. So there's some great little things you can do. Now, I'll tell you, on an audio podcast like this, it's a little bit difficult to really show you how to stretch, show you how to do some yoga poses. But I'm going to give you one of my favorite breathing exercises that can be done actually at your desk, or it can be done really anywhere. So here's what I do. I try to do this every morning at the beginning of my yoga or meditation or stretching or whatever I'm doing in the morning. That's kind of like not when I'm out running or anything, but kind of like in the morning when I'm doing yoga. Here's how I will start it off. I'll sit down in a very quiet room, quiet area. What I generally do is try to sit in a cross-legged position. Especially in the winter, I've got a fireplace going. It's very, very peaceful. I burn a little bit of incense. But I'll sit down in a cross-legged position on a mat, and I will put my index finger, I'll put my thumb, let's say my right thumb from my right hand over my right nostril. So I've got my thumb over my right nostril here. I probably sound a little nasal. And what I'm going to do is, with my thumb over my right nostril, I will take a deep breath in. Now, hold the breath for a second, because your thumb is still over your right nostril. Then what I'll do, I'll take my pinky or another finger and put it over my left nostril, and release my thumb from my right nostril, and I will release my breath. So I'm breathing out through the right nostril, because my left nostril is now covered with my small finger, my pinky finger. So with my pinky finger still on my left nostril, I'm breathing out, exhaling all the air, and then I take a really nice breath in the same way, keeping my pinky on my left nostril. Once I do that, Then I'll release the pinky and go back to my thumb on my right nostril and breathe out and then in through my left nostril. So you can see this is alternating nostrils, breathing in and out. And I would do it for maybe just a minute or two. And let me tell you, my yoga instructor taught me this breathing exercise. And at first I thought, you know, this is stupid, you know, it's dumb. But I got to tell you something. After doing this during yoga class and also every morning, it is a very, I would say, relaxing, meditative breathing technique that is a great way to start the day. It's just, it relaxes me, but it also in a way gives me energy for the day. And just something about it when I do this, I just feel great. So try that, Josh. Try that little breathing exercise. It's just one little thing I can have you do. Now, of course, if you've got 10 minutes, you could certainly do some stretching or some yoga or something like that. Now, you know, what I think I'm going to do, I am going to invite Sandy, my yoga instructor, to come as a guest on this program sometime in the very near future, maybe one of the next episodes, because I'm not a yogi, I'm not a yoga instructor, I'm just a student of yoga, and I can't really do it any justice, but I think if I get Sandy to come on the show here, she can give everybody some really cool little tips and little exercises and little poses or breathing techniques or meditations that you can do at work or at home or anywhere when you travel, when you're on a plane or even in the car. She'd be able to tell you much better than I can. I don't want to even try because I'm not going to get it right, and I want you all to do it right. But so I'm going to get Sandy on an upcoming episode and have her help us with yoga, because I know there are a lot of times I say to you all, you know, try to do yoga, try to do some stretching, but I don't really give you specific exercises. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to schedule Sandy. She's going to come on. It's going to be a great segment, I promise you. So stay tuned for future episodes, and I'm going to get her on actually as soon as possible within the next couple episodes, I think. So yeah, stay on, stay tuned. We'll do that for sure. And actually, Josh, if you have more time than 10 minutes, if you've got like close to an hour, I mean, I'll tell you a lot of things that I do during my lunch break at work. I will certainly go out for a walk, or I'll get changed into my running clothes and go out for a nice little run. And you know, it's funny because you may say, well, I don't want to exercise after eating lunch. It's all about what you train your body to do. I never used to like to eat something and then go out for a run. But now I've trained my body since I've been backpacking and running marathons. I've actually trained my body and I guess trained my stomach to be okay with eating a light meal and exercising after that. Because with backpacking, you have to be constantly eating. And if I were the type of person that would like get sick after eating a meal, if I exercise, that would not be good. When you backpack, you've got to eat and then continue walking with a heavy pack on, or even marathon running. Since I'm very slow, I, believe it or not, I carry food with me in a little fanny pack while I'm marathon running. So it's not unusual for me to eat. This might sound crazy to you. It's not unusual for me to eat a half of a, like a half a sandwich, maybe at the 13-mile point, and then I'll continue running. So I've kind of trained my body to be okay after eating to go out and exercise. So Josh, you know, again, maybe grab some lunch and go out for a nice little walk or even a little run, a slow jog or a little run, and then get back in time to change back and get back to work. So Josh, I hope I answered your question. But yeah, I'm a big proponent of trying to maximize your time at work. And if you get a 10-minute break or 30-minute break or an hour break, yeah, go do something. Just do something cool for your body. So we've got Howard that's going to be calling in to the show momentarily. Let's see if we can take his call. So we've got Howard on the line today. Howard, how's it going today?
Very good. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm doing fantastic, Howard. And what's the reason for your call?
I just completed the Arizona Ironman in 16 hours and 11 minutes.
16 hours and 11 minutes. Now, that's a full Ironman, I take it, right?
At 7 a.m., I dove in the Tempe Town Lake and swam 2.4 miles, got out in about 2 hours, and then jumped on my bicycle, biked 112 miles. The cutoff for that is 5:30. I got off at 4:30 p.m. and started a full 26.2 mile marathon, and you had till midnight to get her done, and I got her done at 11 minutes after 11, and I couldn't feel more proud.
Well, first of all, a tremendous congratulations to you. Now, let's go back. I want to hear a little bit about your life. How long have you been a triathlete?
That would be exactly I turned 50. I'm 5'7". I was 230 pounds. I had been a workaholic my whole life and did everything for my business and my kids. And I realized that I'm nothing to my four boys and I'm nothing to my business and my customers if I'm dead. And I had a friend of mine who did this twice, and I thought, you know, from age 40 to 50, every New Year's resolution was to lose 10 pounds. And then it turned into lose 20 pounds, and it turned into lose 30 pounds. And there I was, you know, 50 pounds overweight. And I said, you know, I need a goal. I need something to train for. And I thought, what would be the goal that you just, everyone knows you can't do it. That's what I need. I needed a you just can't do it goal. And the Ironman was the ultimate goal. And I started January 5th of this year, and I went to the swimming pool, and I signed up for swim lessons. And the coach said, I just want to see you swim across the 25-meter pool to see what you look like. And I didn't make it all the way across. I stopped about 10 feet short and was hyperventilating. And it, 3 months into it, I could only swim 2.5 minutes at a time without stopping, but now I can swim 2.5 hours without stopping. My first bike ride was 6 miles, and after 5, I had to stop. And now I don't blink at going on a 2-hour 30-mile bike ride or a 4-hour 60-mile bike ride. That's just routine. And when I first did my first run around the block, I just was going to run around the block, and I only got halfway around the block, and I had to walk back, and then my feet hurt for 2 days. But every morning at 4 a.m., the alarm went off, and every morning 6 days a week, that alarm went off at 4 o'clock, and I got up, and I either bike, swam, or ran, and 11 months later, I completed an Ironman.
You know, now, Howard, you're 5'7", 230 pounds, so quite a bit overweight there, and age 50. And, you know, in your situation, a lot of people would say, you know, okay, I'm going to start getting in shape. I'm going to train for a 5K, or I'm going to run 5 miles or 10 miles, or even maybe extreme. The extreme would be a marathon. But if I add this all up right, you swam, biked, and ran for 140.6 miles. That's just incredible. Why didn't you just start with a marathon instead of a triathlon?
What do they say? A goal, you know, a dream without a goal or a deadline is just a fantasy or a wish. And I looked for the biggest, baddest goal there was. And that was the biggest one I could find. And quite frankly, it scared me. And then I did, I learned how to trap myself. I told all my friends and family, I told everyone that I was going to do this, because I would have a, if I was in the closet with this a couple of weeks, I could say, forget it and go back to my old ways. But by telling all my boys, all my friends, all my family, all my coworkers, and when I told them all in January, that they were all laughing. I mean, they literally laughed. And the more they laughed, the more I thought, yeah, this is impossible. It just made me work harder. At 4 a.m. when that alarm would go off, I'd say, okay, I'd say, well, I don't want to go on a 3-hour bike ride. And then I'd say, oh my God, but someday, by the end of the year, you're going to have to go for, you know, 17 hours from 7 a.m. to midnight. So 3 hours is nothing. And, I think I was in bad shape. I was 238 pounds and, I was in bad shape, and I'm so glad I did it. And I also, this wasn't a bucket list thing. I signed up for next year, and next year's goal is to shave an hour off my time.
Oh, my God, that is incredible. Now Howard, tell everybody what you do for a living and what your normal like work week is like, just real briefly.
I'm a dentist. I mean, I don't burn a calorie. I sit in a chair. I don't burn. And you know what? Over the years, I had several patients that had a desk job or a cubicle job, and they were really, really sad because they got laid off and had to get a job. And the only job they could find was in construction. And 6 months later, these 250-pound fat, bald guys were coming in with a six-pack, and they didn't even care that they made half the money. They didn't care that they went from $25 an hour to $15 an hour. They were just sitting there saying, oh, my God, I got a six-pack. I can't believe I have a six-pack. And I saw the joy in their eyes that who wants to be rich and unhealthy and die early? And, you know, the Dalai Lama even said it, where he says he thinks it's funny how people ruin their whole life trying to make a lot of money, and then when they finally make their money, they spend it all trying to get their health back, and then they die. And I would rather make half the money and have a six-pack and be able to just run 10 miles without stopping than be a multimillionaire with an oxygen tube in my nose.
Amen to that. So, hey, do you have a six-pack now?
No, I've you know, it's been a long journey, and I learned that you can't run, bike, swim, yoga, lift weights faster than you can eat in the kitchen. And I've learned, I should have known being a dentist, because as a dentist, you know, all dentistry and health starts in the kitchen. If all you do is drink Dr. Pepper all day long, you can't brush and floss enough, and you're going to have decay. And I learned that, you know, health care starts in the kitchen, and you have to get your diet down. And I'm, you know, I went from 238 to 198. And next year at Arizona Ironman, I want to weigh 168. So, and that's another thing I want to tell people is that, you know, it took me 50 years to get where I was at, and it's unrealistic to think you're going to go on a 2 week diet. So it took me 50 years to become obese and morbid and miserable. And a year got me really fit, I went from probably morbid obesity to just fat. And it'll probably take another year. And for me, you know, it's my only vice. I don't drink. I don't do anything. I don't have the medical marijuana card, but I like to eat. And it's challenging.
Howard, so working full time as a dentist, how did you train for this Ironman, this 140.6 Ironman triathlon? I mean, working full time, how did you put the time aside? How did you dedicate yourself to do that?
Well, I learned that, you know, that number one, you can't compare yourself to other people. When you're 50 years old and you're 50 pounds overweight, a lot of people after work go to the gym. But what I found for myself is that if I wanted to do it after work, I had all day to have 100 things go wrong of why I would miss a workout, whether a kid needed a ride or an emergency patient at the end of the day or whatever. And so the only thing that worked for me, Howard, personally, was 4 a.m. And that alarm would go at 4 a.m. Now, what that did on the evening side is when you start forcing yourself to get up at 4 a.m., then you don't stay up watching TV and Comedy Central and The Daily Show and Stephen Colbert and all that stuff. So I just traded. And then another thing about that evening stuff is when you're sitting there watching late night TV and Dave Letterman, all that stuff, you're eating on the couch. So you're staying up late, you're eating calories, and after, you know, 2 or 3 weeks of getting up at 4 a.m. every day, I was falling asleep at 8 o'clock at night. So it's kind of weird. You know, you come home at 5 o'clock and you look at the clock and you think, oh, my God, you only have 3 hours because you're absolutely going to fall asleep because you're absolutely getting up at 4 o'clock. And you're either going to go on a three-hour bike ride right, or do an hour-and-a-half swim and then an hour-and-a-half run on the treadmill. But it was 3 hours every morning. And one last thing I want to say about that. People said, what day did you have your off day, your rest day? I never planned a rest day because life is going to give you a rest day that's unplanned. And whether it's travel or work or family or something, you're always going to miss a day. So I actually planned 4 a.m. every morning the whole year. And I actually got more than one rest day every week. I mean, sometimes, you know, say traveling, say family, say emergency, say someone's in the hospital. But I missed a day a week, and some weeks I missed 2 days unplanned. So I didn't plan any down days.
But it's a whole lifestyle. It sounds like you've transformed your entire life. I mean, up to age 50, you were, you know, obviously you went to school, you were working hard as a dentist, and you gained a ton of weight, 238 pounds. But in 1 year, you changed your entire lifestyle, getting up 4 a.m., going to bed early, eating less, training almost every day. Incredible, incredible stuff. Now, Howard, I know a little bit earlier you mentioned something about yoga. Are you doing yoga as well?
You know, during the Ironman year, I really didn't have as much time to do. But before Ironman, I only enjoyed hot Bikram yoga, and I enjoyed lifting weights. But everybody told me that, you know, just do all, you know, if you're going to work out 3 hours, do a bike, swim, run. Just work on your three core deals, and now I'm going to be able to get back into more yoga. But I want to say one other thing.
Sure, yeah.
For the last 3 years, every time I got my yearly physical, my physician would say, okay, high blood pressure is starts at 140 over 90, and you're 138 over 88. And the next year I was like 138 over, you know. So for 3 years, he kept saying, I think we should start. Now I am 98 over 52.
Oh God! Wow. Hey, what's your pulse rate? Your resting pulse.
I don't know that. I should get that.
As a triathlete, I would think your resting pulse rate is probably 20. That's what I'm willing to bet.
But I mean, my own physician. I mean, he couldn't believe it. He says, "My God!" He said, "You have the blood pressure of an athlete."
That is that's incredible. I mean, you went from borderline high blood pressure, then your physician wanted to put you on some kind of medication to 98 over 52. Unbelievable.
And then that the whole other stuff. I mean, the cholesterol, everything just fell. I mean, he had been wanting to put me on what's that big popular cholesterol drug?
Some type of statin.
What's that big statin that everybody's on? But anyway, yeah.
I can't remember because I don't use it, so I can't remember what it's called.
And everything plummeted. And my physician couldn't be more proud as a pickle, and I just love it.
It's amazing. Howard, I wonder how many people out there on high blood pressure medication and statins and even like anything, is even like antidepressants, if they just would get out there and change their lifestyle and do this type of thing. Now, I'm not saying that everybody...
Let me tell you about antidepressants, because, you know, it's funny where, you know, my friends, I got a couple friends that now got turned on to this, but, you know, most of my friends on antidepressants, they skip breakfast and drink Starbucks coffee. At lunch, they go to Taco Bell. And then after work, they go to happy hour and eat fried cheese balls and margaritas. Then come home and sit on the couch for 3 hours. And then before they go to bed, they say, oh, well, I have depression, so I'm going to take this little pill that's 2 millimeters wide to erase 100 bad decisions throughout the day. And I just look at that, and I mean, I'm not Tom Cruise saying, you know, throw away all your medication, but my gosh, shouldn't medication be an adjunct to a healthy diet and exercise? And how many people do you know that are on antidepressants that are basically alcoholics and obese and never sleep or exercise? So, yeah, I'm totally into getting brain healthy. I also think, as far as your brain goes, I think when you do exercise for an hour, whether it's biking or swimming or cardio for an hour, I just think the increased circulation through the brain and getting all that oxygen in there and just cleaning out your 3.5 pounds is all our brain weighs. And that 3.5 pounds is us. I mean, everything we know is from that 3.5 pounds. And if you treat it healthy and exercise and feed it right and give it all kinds of oxygen and get that 3.5 pound brain in shape, oh my God. And as I became Ironman, the one thing I learned about Ironman is, you know, 3,100 people showed up for Ironman, and it was probably 3,100 different reasons why they were doing it. Some people, that's what they had to do for stress. Some, it was to beat drugs or alcohol. Some was obesity. Some was self-esteem. Some was confidence. I bet you there were 3,100 different reasons why people started that race at 7 a.m., but every one of them swears by it, that it's probably the single best decision they ever made in their life.
Wow, unbelievable. And it's also, as you said, it's not the speed that's important, because, you know, you finished in time to, you know, be an official Ironman finisher. You had to finish by midnight. And what time did you finish?
11:11.
Beautiful. Well, here's the deal. You know, and when I run a marathon, I'm actually proud to be one of the slower ones in the marathon, because it's not really about the speed. It's about doing it, finishing it, living the lifestyle. And when I cross the finish line in a marathon, and by the way, I've never done an Ironman triathlon. I don't know if I really want to do that. But when I cross the finish line in a marathon, my time is secondary to the fact that I'm a finisher. I'm a marathon runner, and
absolutely,
and it's not. And so I'm glad you brought that up. It's not a competitive thing. It's not you're your own story, and you, like you said, 3,100 people that started this Ironman triathlon had 3,100 different stories, and a lot of them probably couldn't care less about the time as long as they completed the journey.
Absolutely. And can I say one thing about try versus your marathon?
Oh, yeah, I want to hear
everybody,
it.
Everybody has a different mind, but some people, if they only have one thing, like it's only run or something, they might burn out. And the neat thing about a try is with three different sports, swimming, you can't master swimming any more than you can master gymnastics. I mean, you're always have. When I'm doing the swim, I have so many things on my mind, I can't even keep them straight. And so for me, changing three sports over regularly avoided all the burnout. I mean, I was never burned out. But I could see myself, if all I did was swim every morning and every night or whatever, I could see myself burning out on one thing. So mixing it up and throwing in yoga and whatever really helps.
Well, you know, I'm a tremendous proponent of mixing it up. And even though I run marathons, I don't do tries, but I do a lot of cross training. I ski, I backpack, I climb, so I never get bored doing what I do. But as far as like competing or entering a triathlon, I'm not really a swimmer, and I've done mini triathlons in the past, like the real short distance, and they were actually a lot of fun. But I sold my bike about a year ago, and I just haven't been on a bike in a long time. Quite honestly, I'm afraid of drivers texting and hitting me on a bike, so I just kind of stuck to the marathon running.
That's another advantage, and I hear you loud and clear. And that is another advantage of the 4 a.m. When I'm in Phoenix, Arizona. It's the fifth largest city in the United States. It's crazy. It's 4.2 million people in the metro.
Oh, wow.
But at 4 a.m., there is nobody on the street except for coyotes, javelinas, and this bald guy riding his bike down the street. But yeah, I couldn't ride my bike to work or after work or anything like that. I agree.
Yeah, anyway, listen, Howard Foran, 51 years old, just completed a 140.6-mile triathlon, went from 238 pounds to 198. He's looking to go – you're looking to go to what weight next year when you –
168 is my goal, and I'll make it.
168. I'll tell you something. Congratulations to you, and you've got a lot to scream about. I'll tell you, I'd like to hear you just give all of our listeners a fantastic scream.
I am Howard Foran. I'm 51 and an Ironman. Go, baby!
Wow. What an incredibly inspirational story from Howard. It's an amazing story, and I just hope that Howard inspired so many of my listeners, because it's just got to. Now, I wouldn't recommend to anyone to go from the couch to running an Ironman triathlon. I mean, I don't know what to say about it. But Howard did it. He had a goal, and it's incredible. So again, congratulations to Howard for that. You know, many of you are asking me the easiest way to reach me. If you have a question or if you just want to get in touch with me for any reason at all, the absolute easiest place to reach me is to go to my website where you can find the podcast, notes for the shows, my blogs, and everything like that. It's simply davidmaddow.com, davidmaddow.com. That's the easiest way. And there's actually even a little button you could press if you want to contact me and send me an email. You can do it right through the site there. Very, very easy to do. You can subscribe to my podcast via iTunes or via email right there on the site. But if you want to just send a direct email to me, another easy way to do it is rundrdave@gmail.com. That's RUNDRDAVE. That's rundrdave@gmail.com. Or simply find me on Facebook. I'm always there. I'm always hanging there. And you can reach me on Facebook at simply Facebook.com/David Maddow. And remember, Maddow has one D. It's DAVIDMADOW. So I've got a couple little tips to close the show today. I'm always trying to figure out some of the coolest ways to stay in shape and to, what some of the things I use, some of the gadgets or something online. So a couple things I'll share with you today. I'm a big proponent of weighing myself on a regular basis. I weigh myself every single day because the scale is an instrument, a diagnostic instrument, to tell me where I am with my weight. And if I just did this blindly, if I had no idea how much I weighed, again, it's kind of like taking the odometer or gas gauge out of your car and just trying to figure out how fast you're going or how much gas you have in your car. You can't do it. You can't do it. So you need a scale to really measure your success and see how you're doing. And when I travel a lot, as many of you know, and most hotel rooms do not have scales. So a short time ago, I bought a travel scale. I got it on Amazon. I love it. I love it. It's really accurate. It's a little tiny digital scale. I'm holding it in my hand right now, and I'd say it's probably it's probably about the size of an iPad, but a little bit wider, I should say. A little heavier than an iPad, of course, but that's the closest thing I could probably equate it to, about the size of an iPad, but a little bit wider. It's made by New Line New York. So if you actually just go on Amazon, and I did this a few seconds ago. In fact, I've got it right up here. Now, let me just check. If you go on Amazon and do a search for New Line, it's all one word, New Line Travel Scale, it'll pop up first. And it's a step-on mini travel bathroom scale. I'll tell you, this would actually be good for a regular scale in your home or wherever you may live. But I use it as a travel scale, and it's $20. And again, if I just travel overnight, I don't bring it. I mean, if I go away for 2 nights, I don't mess with it. But if I'm going somewhere that's a week or more, and I frequently do, I go to Breckenridge, Colorado for a good part of the winter, and I just rent a condo there. So I bring this with me to Breckenridge. I bring it with me when I do my my large seminar in Las Vegas. If I'm there for a week, I'll bring it there. So, if I'm traveling on an extended amount of time, I'll bring this New Line travel scale with me. I love it. So check it out if you're interested. Just go to Amazon and try to do a search for New Line New York, New Line NY, I should say. And it'll come right up. You'll see it very easily. And the next little tip I want to give you is when I run, since I run long distance, I one of the best things that has come around over the past several years is the GPS watch, specifically the Garmin GPS watch. Now, they've been around for a while, but runners, especially long-distance runners, love them because they track your exact mileage. They tell you exactly where you're going, where you're coming from, the elevation, your pace, you name it, it does it. It's almost like it would be impossible for me to run without a GPS watch these days. But having said that, I've had some issues with Garmin. I'm on my second one right now. It's the 610. Let me check it real quickly. I don't want to give you any misinformation. So it's, let me see. It is the Garmin. Let's make sure I'm doing this right here. I do like it. I will tell you, I like it. Let me just make sure it's the 610. but it's got some issue. Yeah, it's the 6'10", Forerunner 6'10". I like it, but I've had some issues with it, with the charger not really charging it right. The contact doesn't contact the watch properly after a while. I don't know. But anyway, I've noticed that Garmin is actually coming out with a brand new watch that is much less expensive than the 6'10". It's supposed to be coming out either the end of this year or the beginning of next year. So I'll just give you a heads up. It's the Garmin 220. It looks really cool to me. It's the Garmin Forerunner 220, and they've got some different colors. The thing I really like about it, they've kind of dumbed it down, and it does not have all the bells and whistles that the 6'10" has. It's a lot less money, and it just does the basic functions, which it's really all I need. I mean, I want to know how far I've run, what my pace is, simple things like that. And then, of course, with all these Garmin watches, you can plug them into your computer and upload to Garmin's website, and it gives you a ton of information, and you save them about all your workouts and races. It's great. So I'm looking out for that Garmin 220. And another thing about it is that it looks like it's going to be much lighter than any Garmin watch that's ever been out there. So I'm kind of a gadget freak, and I can't wait to see this. But again, I'll be looking out for the end of this year or the beginning of next year. I will tell you when I get it. I'll proudly be wearing it, and I'll be able to report back to you how it's been working for me. Anyway, wow, it was a lot of stuff today. I hope you enjoy the program as much as I have, because some of the little tips I've given you answered some of the questions, and of course, helping you through Thanksgiving today. This has been a great one, but it's time to go. I hate to say it, it's time to go. So we got to end it sometime. So thanks to every single one of you for joining me today on Slice Your Age in Half, and we will be back next week with a fantastic show. I'll just tease you a little bit. I've got somebody, I don't know if she's going to be coming into the studio or we'll be doing the interview by phone, but it's going to be another incredibly inspirational interview I do. So you're not going to want to miss next week's Slice Your Age in Half. But until then, this is Dr. David Matto, and episode 9 is now in the record books, in the history books, I should say. And thanks so much to every single one of you for listening. Have a great day, have a great Thanksgiving, and I will see you next time. Thanks so much.